You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Been sick lately? There is something going around, and it's not the flu, a cold, or COVID. A little bug is making its way across Northern California, and it's called HMPV, the human metapneumovirus. The respiratory virus is currently spiking across our area. Wastewater is showing high levels of HMPV in Sacramento, Davis, Vallejo, and San Francisco. Dr. Dean Blumberg is the chief of pediatric infectious diseases at UC Davis Health and joins us to explain what to look out for, who is most at risk of serious illness, and what treatment is available. We'll also get an update on measles cases in our area as well as the flu season. Welcome.
Yeah, good to be here.
Okay, so HMPV is far from a new virus. It's been around for years, even a couple decades. What is it exactly?
It's pretty similar to RSV, which people have heard of, the respiratory syncytial virus. That usually comes first in the season, and then later in the season, starting around March or April, is when HMPV spikes. So this is a relatively normal season with that, and it causes similar symptoms to RSV. So primarily a cold, upper respiratory symptom. But it can be more dangerous for some.
Oh, okay. So who is most at risk?
Well, the youngest kids, they can get bronchiolitis just like with RSV, and that can end up having them in the hospital because of the wheezing, and they might need support for that. And then anybody with a weakened immune system can have a tough case with it, can have pneumonia or other complications. And then the elderly, similar to influenza, people over 65 years of age may have a rough time of it also.
So if HMPV has been around for years, I guess why are we talking about it or reading about it a lot more this year compared to previous seasons?
I think there's a couple reasons. One is that the tests for HMPV are relatively recent. So we usually didn't diagnose that. We'd say, oh, it's not the flu or it's not RSV. And we didn't know what it was because we didn't have available tests for that. Now we have the tests. And then the other thing that's happened since COVID is the wastewater surveillance. So that really came on strong during COVID and was useful. And now it's being used for several other infections, including for HMPV. And so we can see these large spikes of wastewater detection in communities. And then we know that it's going around and we know we're having a lot of cases and transmission.
Yeah, going back to the early years of the pandemic, I mean, you had to rely on people swabbing and getting tests, and you can also get tested for the flu as well. So it seems like wastewater data has kind of been a game changer.
You know, it's been really useful. What you usually see with several of these infections is you see the spike of wastewater detection first, and then you see the cases later. So it can be very useful in terms of planning for resource management when there's outbreaks in communities.
Does quarantining from the pandemic still play a role today? I mean, the fact that we did stay isolated for an extended period of time, does it make maybe some of us, you know, more susceptible to infections?
You know, I think that was true a few years ago, but I think we're through that now. I think we're all caught up from that sort of pandemic hangover of not being exposed to other viruses, to other infections, and really sort of not having any kind of immunity to them. You know, there were different infections had different delays in terms of us catching up with them, but I'm pretty sure we're all caught up now.
What treatment is available for HMPV?
Treatment is mainly supportive, so any kind of respiratory support, additional oxygen that people might need, and then some people might get dehydrated, and so they might need intravenous fluids. And then for those with high fever, then antipyretics, so acetaminophen and ibuprofen can bring the fever down and make people more comfortable.
But there isn't an antiviral like Tamiflu or something like that?
There's no specific treatment for it, no specific antiviral treatment for HMPV currently.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Dr. Dean Blumberg about a little-known respiratory virus called HMPV, which has been in our area for years, but it is spiking across Northern California right now. Well, let's move to another highly contagious viral disease, and that is measles. Mm-hmm. Last week, state public health officials said that more cases and outbreaks of measles have been confirmed in California in the first months of 2026 than in all of last year. There was a recent outbreak in Sacramento and Placer County that has exposed as many as 130 children. What would you like families to know?
Yeah, I think those are important points that you just mentioned. I mean, it's only the beginning of March now, and we've had more cases in California than all of last year, and more outbreaks in California than all of last year. You know, last year in the U.S., we saw more cases than in the past 30 years. And already this year, we're over 1,200 cases. We had about 2,600 last year. So it looks like it's going to be a really banner year for measles, which is really unfortunate and depressing also, because the vaccine is highly effective in terms of preventing it.
How serious is measles? Can it be deadly?
Yeah, it can be deadly. You know, worldwide, more than 100,000 people die of measles every year. And before the vaccine was developed, about 400 to 500 people died every year in the U.S. Last year, 3 people died of measles in the U.S.
Hmm. Have you seen vaccination rates drop in recent years? I mean, what are you hearing from parents who might be reluctant to give their child a measles shot? Because when you read that release from the California Department of Public Health, a lot of the children who came down with measles were unvaccinated.
Yeah, so vaccine hesitancy has been around for forever, basically, since vaccines were developed. But over the past few years, it's gotten worse. And that was exacerbated by the pandemic when they really became politicized. And so that's really unfortunate because it's a medical intervention that really saves lives. Now, in California, we're fortunate in that our vaccination rates are relatively high. So statewide, our vaccination rates are high. But we do have pockets in counties or even in certain communities of very high rates of kids who are not protected, who are unvaccinated. And when measles gets into those pockets, that's when we're seeing spread of measles. Remember, it's really contagious. It's one of the most contagious diseases known to humans.
How do you know if you've had a measles vaccine as a child? What if you're unsure? Should you do it again as an adult?
Yeah, you can. You know, for example, I don't have my records from when I was a kid. So since I work in healthcare, I need to prove that I'm immune to measles. So I could either get vaccinated or have a blood test. And I was pretty sure that my parents had me vaccinated. So I had the blood test and I am immune to measles. So you can have that. If you are immune and you get additional doses of vaccine, they're safe. You don't have any extra side effects from those. So that's another option.
Overall, moving now to the flu, I mean, I think we're at the tail end of flu season. I mean, what was the season like? Because the last time you joined us, we talked about the flu shot and how the shot this go around, it targeted the wrong strain. It wasn't as effective in protection.
Yeah, so the flu strains had drifted from when they decided to put what strains in the flu vaccine. It wasn't that effective as we would like it to be, but it still did result in protection against hospitalization, but not protection against disease overall, but at least it kept people out of the hospital. We initially saw the influenza A came on strong, the H1N1 and the H3N2, and then the tail end of the season that we're in now. We're still seeing a rise of influenza B, but overall rates of influenza are seen to be dropping right now.
Yeah, we're still talking about the pandemic in this conversation. 6 years ago this month, the state shut down due to the pandemic. How big of a concern is COVID today?
Now, COVID right now is circulating at relatively low levels. So right now, things like influenza, RSV, HMPV are circulating at higher levels. And then measles, even though it's not nearly at those levels, is of real concern because it is so extraordinarily contagious and dangerous.
About, I think it was this fall or maybe at the end of summer when you joined us, we were talking about how with the change in the Trump administration, there have been changes in vaccine guidance and some concern or serious concern among the medical community. We're now about, 6-7 months from that conversation. How has the change in guidance impacted the work that you do?
So for medical professionals, we used to look to the CDC for guidance. But now that that's been politicized, there's been a shift in looking to our professional societies. So for me, it'd be the American Academy of Pediatrics. And for others, it might be the American College of Physicians or American Academy of Family Practice. And they've all shifted to more evidence-based recommendations that the CDC used to have. Now the CDC recommendations are political recommendations. They're ideological recommendations. And so we're still following the evidence-based recommendations. And the CDC has really been sidelined in terms of being a powerful voice for data-driven recommendations.
Do you think the medical community now needs to talk about vaccines differently now that vaccines have become politicized?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I'm hearing from my colleagues is it just makes for very difficult conversations with parents, because the messaging that parents and the public is receiving is mixed at best. It's mixed messaging because of what's going on at the federal level. So it's just creating chaos and confusion, and it makes everybody's job harder. It makes parents' jobs harder. It makes healthcare providers' jobs harder. It just makes it less clear. I mean, we know, as medical professionals, we know what the right thing to do is. We know how to talk to parents about that. But it just creates more confusion, and it makes it more challenging.
Dr. Blumberg, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Dr. Dean Blumberg is the Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at UC Davis Health. Still ahead, celebrating the young storytellers in our community, we will honor Youth Storytellers Month. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez.